If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
So I was scolded for a little incident yesterday, and personally, I don't think I broke any kind of rule or any kind of law. Curious to know what you think, though, because I know I'm not the only one that does it, and you may have come up with the same dilemma. So there's this grocery store that I stopped by yesterday. I won't mention the name, but I frequent this grocery store. I won't mention the name because I'm kind of outing them a little bit.
So you won't be able to go back?
Yeah, exactly. They have underground parking, though, and it's great because parking in this area can be really tough.
Yeah, you live in Griffintown.
Thanks for saying where the grocery store is.
I just said Griffintown. That's common knowledge.
We all know where it is now.
There's only like two grocery stores in Griffintown. Only one with underground parking, I think. Anyway, love the underground parking. Love the store. Like I said, I go there often. And you take a ticket as you enter, and then after you purchase whatever you're buying, the cashier will scan the ticket, and then it'll let you out of the parking garage later. Okay. So this is not a parking garage that you can pay to park in. It's only for people who go to the store. So if you're just in the area shopping and you want to use their parking and pay $9, $12, you can't even do that.
So when you go in the garage, what do you grab a ticket?
You take a ticket. Yeah.
Okay.
A ticket comes out.
Okay.
Of the machine. You push a button, the ticket comes out. Okay. I ask the cashier at the end of my shopping to scan it. So I saw somebody doing this weekend and I thought it was great. There's another store I like to go to that's a couple blocks away. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I got my ticket parked, went up the elevator, left the grocery store, went and got the things I wanted at the store a couple of blocks later, came down the street, came back to the grocery store, did my grocery shopping, and left.
Okay.
As I was leaving, I noticed one of the staff members came up to me and she was like, don't worry, I won't tell anyone that you parked illegally this time. And sort of like rolled her eyes at me. Like, and I was kind of in shock because I didn't expect to be having this conversation. I didn't really have any sort of like rebuttal. I just laughed a little bit.
Yeah. Did you show her the receipt?
But she saw me. No, I didn't. Like I said, in the moment, I didn't know what to do. But she saw me leave the store and she also saw me with my bags.
Oh, right.
Showing that I clearly had bought something from the store. But that's fair game, right? If you're allowed to park somewhere because it is attached to an establishment, you're allowed to go a block down the road and then come back and make your purchase.
I don't know, Nikki. You might be walking a fine line. That might not be so much fair game because what's to say that you don't go three blocks or four blocks down the road? Or what's to say that you don't spend all afternoon doing shopping and then all of a sudden it's your own personal convenient parking spot?
I think
for $20 of groceries, right?
I don't know. It was $54. I think it's fair game as long as you ultimately do make that purchase. What's it to them? It took me like 5 extra minutes.
Well, to them, it's a way of keeping things, you know, organized and clean for their paycheck. Patrons, for the people that shop at their store. They don't want people to just come in and maybe to shop at their store, but also do a bunch of other shopping everywhere else, because then it's going to create some chaos for their store. And then some people might not want to go there because, oh, that parking lot's crazy,
or
I can never find a spot there.
Do you work for them? Because you're sounding very dramatic right now. You've done this before.
I have, yes.
Yeah.
You're not having the best parking day. You're having some serious
issues with parking. Yeah. Well, that was yes. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I've done it before, and you just have to be considerate. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as you know, parking is especially downtown, they're very, very protective over their space because everyone's looking for free parking. And, you know, if you can, like you said, I mean, if there's no time limit stipulated, sure, I'll buy $20 worth of groceries, park there for 9 hours, finish my workday. I still have the receipt.
I think a time limit would be fair, like to park for an hour. That's a reasonable amount of time for people to get their groceries and leave. Like, I would have been well within that.
I guess so.
Keeping in mind, somebody else could park down there, take their parking spot, buy a pack of gum. Like, I actually did spend some money.
Yeah.
I did.
I would just be cognizant of it. Keep your receipts, obviously, and just don't get greedy with the time.
You know the worst part of this? When I went back into this, when I was shopping and I turned around to see where that woman was, she worked in the produce department. I was like, why do you care where I park? She's putting away cauliflower. I don't think that's under her duties at all.
You know, you're not alone, though. We got this text saying, my boyfriend got towed for doing the exact same thing.
No way. Towed?
Parked, went across the street to a store for 10 minutes before going to the grocery store at the strip mall. When he got out, the car was gone. It's a chance you take. Ugh. The grocery store can have you towed.
They're going to tow you over that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Russell, what do you think about what I did yesterday?
Terrible. Unethical.
Unethical?
Probably illegal.
Highly illegal.
Yeah, no, there's a show on TV on Discovery Channel, I think. It's called Parking Wars.
Oh, right.
Especially in the States, and they have people that sit there and watch, and as soon as you leave the store's property, tow truck comes and tags you out.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
That is so extra. That is not necessary.
I'm all for it, Russell.
Yeah. No. Once you leave their property, you no longer have the right to park on their lot.
And don't think that just because you're in an underground garage, they can't tow your car. They will fit in and they will grab your car and they will
drag it out of there. Yeah. I didn't hurt anybody, Russell. I feel some judgment coming from you.
No, hey, man. It's private property. You're no longer a client when you left their parking lot.
So do you own a parking lot, Russell?
No, I don't. Okay.
Nikki now feels like the worst criminal in Montreal.
Well, good. Parking is a premium. Parking is at a premium in Montreal. And if you snag a free spot and it belongs to a store and you're not a client, shame on you, Nikki.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Russell. But I know I've said this 10 times, but I was a client. I understand you can't just park there for free and not buy anything from the store. I did make my purchases.
Sounds like you're stretching a bit. There's a valet that actually texted and he says, good morning, guys. I'm a valet. And what you did wasn't exactly wrong. We allow it all the time at our hotel when someone doesn't have a room there. It's not exactly right either, but I guess it's a gray area. And that's the whole thing. Yeah. You have to know that you're taking a risk and that there is a chance that when you come back, your car's not going to be there.
Oh, my God. We got a text from Danny, and he said he's been towing for 28 years. And like Russell just mentioned, they call it predatory towing, apparently. And they do have checkers here in Montreal, too.
Oh, no way.
That will go in and tow. I didn't know I could get towed, but they could at least give you a warning first.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? a warning shot?
A little warning ticket or something. Anyway, I will try it one more time.
Well, like Russell said, shame on you.
We'll see how that goes. All right. Thank you for your text, and thank you, Russell, for making me feel good about myself. Good to know you're a fan.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
When could you really officially call yourself an independent adult? We want you to text us this morning at 92925. Maybe it was an age, a specific age. Maybe it was a milestone. You had a kid. You bought a house. When did you feel like an adult?
I don't really know what constitutes an independent adult, but I can tell you that I don't think that I'm quite there yet. If I'm being completely
honest. How old are you?
36.
36 and you still don't? Okay, that's too late.
I don't, but I consider that a good quality. I mean, maybe it's because I've always been young at heart.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm like I don't want nor do I feel like I'm ready for a lot of adult responsibilities like a mortgage, and I mean kids is like a whole other thing. I mean, to me, I'm happiest when I'm just sitting doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can relate to the young spirit thing that you're talking about, though sometimes you sound like my dad.
Yeah, I know. That's the wisdom. Don't worry about it.
Because I see it in my mom and my grandmother. They're just like forever young in their hearts and their souls. Yeah. So I can definitely relate to that. But I think at one point most of us are finally like, okay, I am completely independent. Like this, I'm now doing life without my parents.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt when I moved out of my parents' house, that's when I started feeling like I was doing life without my parents.
And you were 29 when
No, I was 25. I was in my 20s. I was 25. That was the day after my birthday is the day I moved out. I kind of wished I didn't, though. Everybody said when I was younger, you know, stay at home as long as you can. And now as soon as I moved out, things changed.
You'd still feel like a child if you were at home right now. They did a study. They found that most young people now do not truly become adults. So we're talking independent adults until the age of 26.
Okay.
Which is a lot later than it used to be. Keep in mind, people, like my mom had already had, a 7-year-old at this point when she was 26 years old?
My mom had 2 kids.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Age.
And they had mortgages and they had, they had been doing life as an independent adult for a long time. So it seems to be getting younger and younger older and older as the generations go on.
It still seems a bit young. I have a brother who's 26 who still lives at home. And I mean, I don't think he's planning on moving out anytime soon, but he could probably consider himself independent-esque.
Really?
Yeah. Just because he's not paying rent.
Well, I mean, Kim was talking earlier, though, about how housing prices in Montreal are going up and condo prices are going up. And, and the cost of living gets more and more and more expensive. And it's not like wages are going up and up and up as well. So people are staying at home longer because that's all they can afford. Even if they have a roommate, it's still more expensive to rent than it was 20 years ago.
The economy is definitely a reason.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. People can't buy homes the way that they used to and as early as they used to and for the price that they used to with their salaries.
What are some of the criteria that make you an adult, though? What are some of the things that go into it?
Yeah, it was literally everything from doing your own laundry to, this is a big one. My sister is 22 years old and I don't know if she still if she does this by herself yet. I'm sorry if you're listening. booking your own appointments, like those little things. If you need a dentist appointment, appointment or a doctor's appointment. You don't ask your mom to call for you.
My mom stopped making our appointments about 3 or 4 years ago. She's like, okay, I'm officially cutting the cord now. I can't do it anymore.
Yes.
But you become so used to it that you almost, you know, accept it as like a given.
My mom's sister is like 45 years old. And if I was there, she'd be like, can you call the doctor for me? She still hates making those phone calls. Efficiently budgeting as well.
Yeah.
Not borrowing money from your parents and paying your own bills.
Yeah.
Those are sort of some of the things from the list that they say once you can do all of these things on the checklist, you're an adult.
On paper, but it doesn't mean that you're actually grown up. I mean, it just means you can, you know, hold down a job and make your appointments on time. You know,
yeah, I think Lisa, who texted us, I think she grew up a little bit too early too. She says she left home at 18 and grew up quickly. She's told her kids to stay as long as possible. When they move out, she wants them to have 2 years of rent in the bank, which is really, really smart.
That is really smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This text says, and sometimes it's the little things. I do feel mature when I install a shelf or fix something on my own. Just like little things. Like I remember the first time I took my mom out for a fancy dinner after I had gotten my first corporate job. I was so proud. I pulled up my Amex. I paid for the thing. And I felt like, for the first time ever, I treated my mom to a nice dinner.
Yeah. The shelf in my closet, my bedroom closet, actually came crashing down a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And I went to the hardware store, got what I needed, and fixed it myself. And it was one of those moments where I was like, look at me. I didn't call anyone for help.
Your mom would be so proud.
She would. No, she would have called someone for help, actually.
Right, exactly.
Nikki, that's not how we do it.
Sophia, when did you feel like an independent adult?
When I got engaged at 28. I still live at home. I'm a doctor, but it was only when I got engaged.
So you live at home, you're a doctor.
Yeah, I still live at home. I'm a doctor, finishing my residency, but only at 28 when I said yes, I felt like an adult.
Like going out and becoming a doctor sounds like a very adult-like thing to do.
Just getting into med school would be an adult thing to do.
No, it was only when things settled down. I was like, okay, now I'm adult.
But you know what? I get it. When I proposed to my wife, one of the things that I said in my proposal was, give me a second here, because this is the most adult thing that I've ever done. It was a big step.
When are you moving out, Sophia?
When I get married.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so you'd mentioned that you were going to tell us why people are becoming independent adults
later in life. So we'd already mentioned the economy, which is a huge one. People just know, even if they're working hard and putting in the time, you can't make the money to get a down payment to buy a house that early. So that often will make people feel as though they're not quite independent and not quite adults yet. Mm-hmm. But it's not only, you can feel like an independent adult, like you mentioned, Sam, and still live at home. There are a couple of other things. It's the amount of time we're spending in post-secondary education.
Oh, yeah.
So not only do a lot of these courses take longer, it takes longer to be a nurse. Like the list goes on and on. You have to put in more time. People are also choosing to spend more time and get more education than they were back in the day.
And a lot of people are taking a year off before they get into that post-secondary education because they know once they get into it, they're going to be in school for the next 5, 6, 7 years.
I remember when I was in university, we would always taunt the people that had been in school too long. We're like, you're just avoiding real life. This is a good thing. Like, it's a nice shelter to be here and to tell yourself that you're getting all these accolades and all these academics.
And it's admirable in one way. It's a very millennial thing to do, to say, I'm trying to follow my heart, I'm trying to figure it out, but ultimately it pushes your life back a little bit.
When you're in a class with people that are 10 years younger than you, you know, it's time to move on. It's time to...
Who are you to judge? And then the other reason they mentioned was a lack of effort for the struggle, that maybe there's just not as much. And like I said, things are harder. It is more difficult. Things are more competitive. It's not as easy to make and save money as it was back in the day, but maybe the younger generations are giving up a little quicker than the previous generations.
Because they have that safety net, right? When things get too hard, just go back to mom and dad. They'll take care of you.
Not everyone. Are you speaking from experience?
Yeah, totally. Yes. I've still got a room just in case things get tough here.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right, I mentioned this morning that I saw three people doing something on my way into work, and I had a moment after the third person did it. I was like, I've never seen a woman do this. It's always men. Oh, okay. And people are taking their guesses as to what it is that I saw on our text line. So what are people guessing that I saw someone do that I've only ever seen men do?
Okay, so we've had a lot of people text us, but there's only been two things that people
that
have
everyone
have
is saying?
Yes, yeah, okay. One or two things. The first one is spit.
Disgusting.
We just got another text from Leslie, spit.
Disgusting, gross, and that's not it, though. That isn't what I saw them do.
Oh, well, I mean, the other thing was, hold on, what?
Picking their nose?
Yeah.
Nose picking. That also wasn't it.
I have a guess of something that I've only seen men do.
What?
U-turns.
U-turns.
Full on
U-turns,
yeah. I notice these people. I don't know why, but I come to think of it, I've never seen a woman pull a U-turn.
No.
You've looked that closely?
I do.
Really?
Okay, Kieran?
Yeah, you haven't been to pick up kids at school, have you? That's where the women are doing the U-turns.
I'm talking about a three-pointer, and I'm talking about a full-on one-swoop.
Hey, no.
Okay, so Kim does U-turns. You don't pick your nose while you're driving, though, do you, Kim?
I do not.
Good.
No.
Okay, good. All right, so it was none of these things. Okay. None of these things. And maybe this is going to be a little disappointing when I tell you what it is. But seriously, like, stay with me here. It is backing into parking spots when there is no need to back into the parking spot. So you're holding up, line of people. I'm not talking about parallel parking. I'm talking about parking in a parking garage or a parking lot, right? Yeah. Normal spots. And they'll take the time, they'll hold up the lineup of people trying to get through and park to stop, put it into reverse, make sure they're perfectly parked. And as I waited for the third time this morning, I know Kim was waiting too. She was there.
It was killing me.
The third time, I was like, I don't think I've ever seen a woman do this.
Well, I mean, we all know that, you know, reverse parking is the better way to park, though, don't we? Can we not acknowledge that?
And apparently, that's how they teach you in driving school. And I'm surprised because you're normally a very courteous and patient driver.
I am courteous and patient, but I don't remember them teaching me that. And honestly, I wasn't losing my cool or melting down. It was just very interesting because it wouldn't be worth the time to me. I definitely would be a little anxious if there was a lineup of people waiting for me. I wouldn't go through the drama of I would do whatever's quickest. I can back out later. That's fine. I would do whatever is quickest. But I think men enjoy it. Like, I think they find it fun.
Of course we do.
You're absolutely right. Whenever I do a good reverse park job, I always will tell, you know, if Kelly's with me, I'll say, hey, check that out. See how straight I am?
The lines on either side
are equal. I'll take a picture. I'll put it on Instagram. Oh,
brutal.
Yeah.
See, we're getting literally hundreds of texts. I just managed to click on one that says, Nikki, I do reverse parking all the time and I'm a woman. That would be a worst for me. That'd be a first for me. Okay. Not the worst, sorry. That'd be the first. And like I said, not into gender roles, but it's interesting. You mentioned the U-turn. I'm not very likely to make a U-turn.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm of the belief that it's your spot, your choice, you know, and there's no better feeling than pulling out of a spot when you don't have to back out of a spot because it's dangerous a lot of times.
That's true.
To back out of a parking spot.
Okay.
Just as dangerous as it is to back
into a parking spot. It's the same.
Either way. Not if you know what you're doing.
Oh my god!
Maybe your parking skills are a little insufficient, a little inadequate. I'm just saying. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's not them that's a problem.
I'd say I'm the best parker in the world.
Right, we know that.
We just got another text from Carla. She says, "I just parked in reverse as you were saying that. That's the way I prefer to
Take
park."
That
seriously? Am I the only one?
You have to question all your gender roles now. This is
the Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast
online at thebeat925.ca
or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play
and live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.